of City Council. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, January the 10th. I want to acknowledge that the press and the public were duly notified in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. First order of business is approval of the previous meeting's minutes. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
And there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Citizens' comments or any citizens present that would like to make comments? Old business, I should state that since this is one of the committees that will have a change of membership after the election, I will chair the meeting until we have a full regular committee, and then we'll elect a chair and vice chair. Under old business, overview of activities, this is on the agenda just so that I can kind of touch on how the rhythm of things will go for the personnel committee. One of the very consuming activities for the personnel committee is membership on boards and commissions. Many of these appointments expire at the end of the calendar year. So this is Board of Zoning Appeals, Planning Commission, Code Board of Appeals.
ATAX.
I'm leaving out one.
Code board.
You said.
Anyway, so there's a place on our website that talks about these committees and talks about their functions. There's also a place on the city website where citizens who might have an interest in serving on these committees can make application for service on the committees. And typically, it is not uncommon for those who serve on some of these committees to then migrate to larger service with the city and move to city council. So it is kind of a feeding ground for membership on council as well, because they kind of get their feet wet in the rhythm of the city and then kind of move from service on a board of commission to city council. So the personnel committee is the committee that sort of screens those individuals in the community. They submit the equivalent of an application that includes a resume and everything. And any new folks that submit their names and candidacy for service undergo an interview process that the personnel committee does. So long about August, that activity starts. Late July, early August, that activity starts gearing up, and then the personnel committee makes a recommendation to city council concerning either the reappointment of or the appointment of members of boards and commissions. This is something that's actually kind of new to the personnel committee in recent years, but one of the reasons why it was started is that we actually discovered probably almost 20 years ago that we had some people that were members of boards and commissions who really did not even have a good working knowledge of how the city worked. And that was problematic. And so it kind of became apparent that it might be important to screen people and to make sure that they are folks that have kind of done their homework about the city and would be consistent with what would be the mission of the city at that particular time. So I just wanted to mention that. Other things that this committee does is make recommendations concerning changes to job descriptions. Typically those would come from department managers to myself, to this committee. Also, now we have Wynette as the newest member of the team doing human resources activities. She would be involved in that as well. And so any changes that we might would make to an existing job description or the creation of a new position would funnel through this committee for its scrutiny, its recommendations and changes, and then to city council. Likewise, any changes to the personnel handbook of the city, we we're going to touch on that more later, those kinds of things would funnel through this committee as well. So those are the kinds of activities. Typically, this committee is also involved somewhat in the budgeting related to the general government, which is the city hall, the building department, and sometimes recreation. Last year, we did a different method of budgeting that didn't really involve so much intense committee work, but was more with full council. It will remain to be seen when we do the visioning workshop as to whether or not that's the same process that this group wants to use, in future years. So, this committee is a strong resource for City Hall and my work. This committee also typically aids me in establishing a personal goal for the year. And so we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So does anybody have any questions concerning sort of what this committee does and kind of the rhythm of the scheduling of things? Okay, so hearing none, I'll go to the next item on the agenda, which is 4B, discussion of the status of the update to the personnel handbook. Most of you have heard the city mention before because of your membership on other committees that the city has a safety audit, and that is an outside audit of the city's safety practices that is done annually. It's a very comprehensive audit of the entire city, and one of the recommendations in the safety audit is that the personnel handbook should be reviewed by a labor attorney at least once every 5 years and changes made so that we make sure that our personnel handbook is consistent with recent things and requirements that have changed with state law. As you all know, personnel is an area that has to be handled very carefully, paying attention to labor laws. And so we have just undergone the review by the labor attorney, and we use Jenlatt Savitz and Bettis out of Columbia for that purpose. And primarily we use Linda Edwards in that firm to do that type of work for us. And sometimes she farms it out to other attorneys in the firm. But that work product has come back from the attorney and now is at a point where the staff is reviewing those suggestions and also making suggestions for other changes to the handbook. When we have completed that process, that handbook will come forward with the changes so that you can see what they are to the personnel committee, for the personnel committee to discuss, either approve and recommend them to city council or make changes themselves. So that's where we are. We ended the calendar year last year where we had begun our work sessions involving all the department managers on the work product that came back from the labor attorney. But then of course we had the holidays and then we had storms. And so we're just now getting back to that work. So that will be coming forward to this committee as well. And Wynette is having to handle the synthesis of all those changes into one document.
Question. What was the scope of the suggested changes from the attorney? Was it significant?
With attorneys, they always like to do something.
They have to prove their worth.
So yes, there were changes, but no, there wasn't. The magnitude of changes was not that great. So apparently not that much has happened to change regulations in the last 5 years. But if we don't have it reviewed every 5 years and do this comprehensive analysis on our safety audit in that category, we get gigged. Mm-hmm. If we don't score well on the safety audit, then we have no opportunity for any kind of savings on our liability insurance. Sure. This is a way to protect the city, mm-hmm. to make sure that we're staying current with our personnel policies and procedures. And if there are no other questions regarding the personnel handbook, I'll go to the next thing. We'll keep this meeting rocking along. Okay, so discussion of the city's education reimbursement policy. The City of Isle of Palms has a really, really wonderful benefit to city employees and also benefit to the city, because the more that we can invest in the betterment of our employees, the better work product our citizens get from those employees. And one of the things that's in the city handbook is an education reimbursement policy, which allows qualifying employees to continue their education. And then they have to front the money, and then they're reimbursed based on how well they score on the courses that they're taking. there are ebbs and flows with participation in the education reimbursement policy. During the time when interest rates were really high and money was really tight, we didn't have a lot of participation in this policy because, again, employees have to front it themselves and then get reimbursed. So if it wasn't affordable to them because they didn't have the liquidity to front it themselves, then there were almost zero requests to participate in the education reimbursement policy. As the economy sort of leveled out and interest rates went down, the participation in this process has gone up significantly. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you how many employees we have in it now, but maybe you have a number in your head.
We have about a dozen in there
now. So what this means is if you look at your city budget, and everybody's gotten a city budget, and you look at the general government line item, there is a line item for education reimbursement. And so if you look back on, you go back maybe 6-8 years ago, that number might be really low, like maybe 10,000 or 12,000. I think last budget year it was maybe 50 or something like that. So, because we budget
80. It was 80.
Yeah. So we budget based on the number of employees that we have in the program, and we have to assume that they're going to score well in establishing that budget. Employees are required to notify us by February every year if they intend to pursue their education. They have to be in good standing. They have to have been with the city a period of time, but it is an excellent program. And we have had employees that have completed, this was many years ago, not recent, but we've had employees that had no post-secondary education and have gotten bachelor's degrees and then have gone on to get master's degrees during their term of service with us. They are required to stay with us for a period of time in order to, you know, give back what they've gained in this extra knowledge. And if they leave prior to that time, they do have to reimburse the city. And we have collected on that before when we've had employees leave us before they have finished their commitment. But we have decided that there have been no changes to that education reimbursement policy in probably almost 20 years. And so we've decided it's time to take another look at it to see if we need to refine it a little bit more. Our policy is strictly between the city and the employee. This is not a scholarship program where we're paying to the school. So we want to explore some of the other local governments and other places education reimbursement policy to determine if it's time to perhaps do ours a little differently. So Wynette's got that in her court to do that work, and so this committee will be hearing, you know, more about that in the future. Yes.
What do you think the break is between undergrad and graduate degrees? Are most people pursuing undergrad or most people pursuing graduate?
I would say most people are pursuing undergrad.
Okay.
That circumstance where we had someone that managed to finish their undergrad and then complete their master's was unusual, but it has happened with the city.
Okay, and then this is just... I can't understand why for post grad, if they get below a B, we pay 0%. That seems so brutal.
Because in grad school, they don't use the same grading as in undergrad.
Okay.
In grad school, if you have less than B in most grad programs, you don't pass.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That's why.
Okay. Okay.
And at one point, I think, Linda, you mentioned to me that there was somebody who had requested to go to law school.
Exactly.
And was denied.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I do want to tell you that we do deny requests sometimes. And that was one that was denied by the city. And I want to say that, and this was some years back, but I want to say that in that denial that I went before the personnel committee and said that my recommendation was that it should be denied, and the personnel committee concurred with that. You go to law school to practice law. So you know, whether or not it would be appropriate for the city to invest in city resources, our citizens' money, in lifting someone up to go and go into private practice for law, is, it just did not seem like the appropriate choice at the time. So that request was, that is one in particular.
I don't agree with that.
Well, the personnel committee at the time did.
Okay. Well, I'm on this one just for a moment, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
I think anybody's better than themselves. We should look, you know, we should encourage that, lifting them up. But.
And law school is extremely expensive, so as you can imagine, I mean, this was not a this was a private law school that they were planning on going to as well.
And now Charleston School of Law is accredited, I believe, mm-hmm. but it wasn't even an accredited
for
a little
week.
Bit. This week, exactly.
And I got a friend, this is a professor.
And it is in there that it must be an accredited. Yeah. Institution.
And it also has to be related to the type of work that you do within this city. And mm-hmm. that's, I think, mm-hmm. what's also part of the reason why.
Part of the problem with that particular, it's got to have some relationship mm-hmm. to either what you're doing or what you aspire to do for the city. So, at any rate, we're looking at it with the
I think, personally, just, I'm going to go on record saying, I just think it's a wonderful mm-hmm. program.
Believe me, when my kids were coming up in high school, if I had known that the city of Isle of Palms had an education reimbursement policy, I probably would have said, you both need to go to work for the city of Isle of Palms, do well, and then you can educate yourself. Because it is an excellent program, and we do have employees taking advantage of it.
Which is great.
Education now is completely different from when I went through school, in that a lot of it is done via distance learning, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is done via online classes mm-hmm. now. I mean, that is the wave of now in terms of getting education. And so most of our employees who are enrolled in these programs, these are online programs with accredited institutions. So it enables them to do the work when they are off at night, whenever, you know, they can squeeze it in. And so that's just a difference than, you know, many, many years ago, 40 years ago, when you were getting an undergraduate degree or a graduate degree, where you physically had to be present and attend classes.
Well, the city treasurer has to do, like all of us CPAs, we have to have 40 hours CPE every year just to keep our license. Do we reimburse her for those?
We pay for that. For the city treasurer, for
that's
for,
good
to go through that.
Well, so it can be very expensive.
And though I will say that most of the courses that she has been able to find have been things that we've been able to parlay into good use citywide.
Right.
Some of the Excel things, learning how to do pivot tables, things of that nature that that she's been able to use. And one of the ones that's either coming up or that she just completed had to do with dashboards, and we've been trying to come up with more ways to incorporate dashboards into what we're pushing out into the community and what we're providing to you all in the way of data. So it's not just that we're keeping her license, but we're able to kind of piggyback on that for the betterment of the city too.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't take courses having to do with auditing, because I don't do any.
Right.
I'm strictly tax shop, and so all mine is just, and there's plenty of changes all the time.
Yes.
So you get to pick and choose, mm-hmm. but it's all related to your job.
But yes, we do That's pay good. For that.
Another thing to keep in mind about the education reimbursement policy is that it's a group recruitment tool for the city. Mm-hmm. Y'all are aware that government employee, you know, where mm-hmm. government has a hard time competing with the private sector for good and standing employees, and this is a thing that we hear all the time from employees that they like, and that they're glad that the city offers that benefit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on the city's education reimbursement policy?
No, just to be clear, today is really just to kind of make us aware, and that Wynette is deep diving into mm-hmm. it and making a recommendation
Correct.
In a subsequent meeting.
Correct. It's coming. And so we wanted to touch on the things that
yeah,
we
great.
Know will be coming to the committee. The next thing on the agenda is the continued discussion of the continuity plan. And I want to make sure that I make it clear that there's a distinction between a continuity plan and a succession plan. Mm-hmm. We are not working on a succession plan. We're working on a continuity plan. This was something that was identified as a goal last year, and the goal was to just initiate it, because this is something that needs to be ongoing and needs to be fleshed out further. And so we did initiate it last year. It needs more work and more thought to be done. So I would like to, with this group's concurrence, I would like to continue that as a personal goal for next year, to do more work on the continuity plan. If you all do not wish to vote on that today because we don't have the committee that's going to be the regular committee, we can delay it to next month. But the continuity plan basically is the city's evaluating each department and its employees and its hierarchy and trying to determine where we can identify no ability for operations to continue if an employee is taken out of service for some reason. So in other words, it's where we evaluate where we can have redundancy so there would be continuity of services to our citizens, and where we discover that we have an employee that is doing something that no one else is trained to do, to step in the event that that employee is out of service for some reason. Could be an extended illness, could be an illness in the family, could be a sudden departure from the city, whatever it is. And then we try to analyze what the solutions would be to the fact, and some of those are long-term solutions. You can't fix it overnight. But the city does need to be looking at this, because the city has employees with a lot of years of service with the city, which is a super benefit from the standpoint of the level of professionalism that we can offer to our citizens. But it also means that body of knowledge that exists with every one of those really long-term employees, if they're out of service for some reason, then you need to have the ability to have a person step in. It's one of the reasons why I copy Desiree on everything, and why she is in attendance at most meetings where I'm in attendance, because I want the peace of mind of knowing that there's continuity service, that work doesn't stop if for any reason I am out or sick or ill or out of service for some reason. And so we try to achieve that at all departments, at all functions throughout the city.
Well, I'm comfortable with making a motion that you continue that as your goal, the continuity plan for 2018. So I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Discussion first, or should
you need second first.
And then discuss? You second, and then we discuss.
Okay. Well,
did you second it?
I guess I'll second.
Okay.
My question: when you say make it a goal, is this a singular goal that you have for the year that we're saying this is your singular focus? Area of focus, or is this one of multiple areas of focus?
Okay, so, and that's an excellent question. As part of the city administrator's evaluation, there are multiple things on the evaluation form. At the end of this calendar year, you will complete that evaluation form as a member of council, and all of those are synthesized from that evaluation. One category on that form is progress on a personal goal.
Gotcha.
So there's an identified personal goal. Now, obviously, that is not my only thing working on with the city, but it's a way to for city council to identify one thing that they would like for mm-hmm. us to stay yeah. focused on, that is part of those multiple different things
gotcha.
On which the city administrators evaluate.
Makes sense. I'll
say further discussion. I just feel like to wait to lose 2 full months on a 12-month goal, I mean, it's just a whole lot to lose.
Right.
So that's why I think we need to sort of start doing some things, because mm-hmm. it just, that's a lot to lose, 2 full months.
I'm not clear on that we have a answer to John's question. Is that your only goal?
No, I have, you know, I have the budgetary goals to accomplish for the city. And as you know, from having seen that evaluation form, there are a lot of things on there.
Yeah, but I don't want this to be just your only goal. Like last year, there was only one goal, wasn't there?
There's always only been one goal on the evaluation form.
All right. Just one goal.
To, you know, if you want to look at changing the evaluation.
Well, I just think it should not, the language should not be limited to just one goal. There might be a couple of big things that we really need to work on. So I don't want to restrict ourselves to saying we're going to just have one. You know, I read the minutes from last year, and there was like one goal. That's my only concern.
Further discussion as well. I think knowing that we're planning to do a visioning session next month, I know that 2 months is a huge percentage of the time of the 12 months, but recognizing that some really strong directional goals might come out of that visioning session, I'd like to say we should probably wait for this committee to be finalized and that visioning session to occur, and that would probably help us really make sure that the goals align, your goal is aligned with the goals of the city.
So,
it's getting more complicated than it needs to be, I believe.
So,
I agree with Carol that, you know, we don't want to wait, but also see John's point is like, well, what if we come out of visioning and we say, well, this is something huge that the administrator should really head up. You know, goal at the end of the year is to get a, you know, progress report on it, or was it complete, or how far along do we get?
I just feel like having this continuity, I mean, it is really critical. And when you read where we are, where in terms of Donnie and Douglas and Chief Buchanan and even Chief Graham, that we don't have an, I mean, it's, we really have some holes that are critical that we need to figure out. And that are people who are at the age where they really could start to think about retiring.
Well,
and yeah, it's just a critical thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm probably getting into too much detail in that we really don't have to spell that out, the number of goals or one or whatever they should be. The motion was just to, if I understand correctly, just to just continue with it, the plan. Mm-hmm. We can determine other goals at a later date after we get, you know, you get a real committee.
Okay.
And the way I interpret this is we're saying this is the absolute primary personal goal for the city administrator. And while I'm not arguing that the continuity is incredibly important.
Continuity.
What did I say?
Continuity. Well,
thank you.
That's okay. That's okay.
Come see, come see. It's incredibly important, and obviously Linda is going to be putting a lot of effort against making sure that we address this effectively. I just, for me, I don't think it's the right time to say, hey, this is the most important personal goal for you to make. And I think it's worth the reduction in time to say, you know what, let's wait till we know the direction of the city and then come out of that and say, you know what, this should be your number one biggest personal goal.
I don't think, sorry, I don't mean to repeat myself, but I don't think that we're discussing that in particular. We're just saying this is one thing she's going to continue to work on rather than stop it dead in the water. That's all.
Me too.
But I certainly agree.
Is that what?
If the needs arise, I certainly agree that arises that it shouldn't be the only goal when we got so many other things going on. So.
It sounds like the motion was for this to be the only goal, though.
What was the motion?
So let me see if I can clarify it a little bit. There's an evaluation form. Mm-hmm. It's about 4 pages long. And it's for 12 months worth of my work. Mm-hmm. There is a category on there that's one of multiple different categories on which the city administrator's performance is evaluated. And one of them is the progress on the personal goal established by council. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that there are not other things
right.
that are mm-hmm. going to come up throughout the year and will come out of visioning that mm-hmm. might not be something that the city says, you know, in the terms of priorities of your work, we would like these things to be the priorities. Mm-hmm. It just means that at the end of the calendar year, the thing on which you're evaluating me in terms of that form mm-hmm. is right. going to be the whether or not right. I make progress on the continuity sure. plan. That's really
and
the so, only significance because mm-hmm. it's 12 months worth of work. Mm-hmm. If you wait 6 months into the year before you tell me what I'm going to be evaluated
right.
on, then I'm 50% crippled
right.
for being able to achieve what mm-hmm. you've asked me to do.
And
which is sort of not a level playing field.
Right, and that has happened before. Mm-hmm.
And what is the motion exactly?
Well, I have it as to continue with her goal into 2018.
You don't as mention any numbers or anything?
I don't know. There was no singular or focus or whatever that she continued with the goal in 2018.
Okay, should we call for the vote?
I'll say one last thing. I'm not sure that the goal is something that I do in my profession. We do a lot in terms of I work in personnel and we do a lot of stuff in the way of goal setting. Mm-hmm. And there's always these acronyms that you can say about like goals need to be SMART, which is
right.
you know
specific, measurable.
Yeah, and right now I don't know that this is if we're going to evaluate you against it. I don't know what the criteria is, what we're measuring. And so I don't feel like we've put forth all of those things that would be really important to say, hey, has she achieved this goal? How do we know if you've achieved it or not?
So we have the work product that was supplied to the city at the end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a work product that will be supplied to the city at the end of the calendar year this year, likely about November. Because we don't have any meetings to amount to anything in December, mm-hmm. typically.
Right.
So there will be the differences between what that document said at the end of the calendar year in 2017 versus what that document says at the end of the calendar mm-hmm. year in 2018. So that is your measurable difference. Did mm-hmm. we evaluate it further? Did we come up with additional corrections that could be made to achieve the goal? So that would be your measurable ability to determine if progress had been made on the continuity plan.
But what you're saying is, have we completed activities against this?
Well,
if the goal is we want to do XYZ, then we should clarify this is what we want to achieve against this plan.
John, in this case, that means budgeting for maybe, you know, a new IT person, budgeting for an assistant for Donnie. There are so many levels of what it takes to get to the actual, but we need to start somewhere for this.
The continuity plan.
It's a plan. So
I guess I'm not comfortable saying the goal should be to work on a plan. I'm comfortable saying the goal should be to make sure that we have
the budget is part of that, you know. So you got to start somewhere when you're talking about personnel.
I think let's say this is where we're at right now, and we don't have redundancies in this position. What we want by the end of 2018 is that we can objectively say we now have either a plan in place or we have a redundancy position already created for these positions.
Right.
That's what I'd like for us to make a goal, because saying the goal is to work on a plan, it's impossible for you to be evaluated against that. And you as the person being evaluated should say, hey, you know, it's sort of it's more subjective if you say it's to work on a plan, because any one of us could say, well, she worked on the plan, but not enough or the other way. And so what we should do is make the goals something really specific, something where we can look back objectively and say, okay, as a committee, I can say, yeah, we wanted a redundancy here, here, and here, and we have it. Or we have the plan in place. Whatever the goal, I'm not suggesting necessarily that those are the goals, but that's what I would like to see. And I, I know we have to vote on this motion, I can't make a second motion until we vote on this one.
You can make an amendment.
You can make an amendment, but I will tell you that what I'm hearing is that it doesn't seem like it's the consensus of the group to settle on this as a goal now. And if that's the case, we should just go ahead and vote and defeat the motion. And if you want to start over, then you can. So, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
All right, motion doesn't pass.
Okay. All right.
So is there an alternate motion?
Maybe it's just not necessarily a motion, but I would say, you know, for the next one, let's work, you know, if you and Wynette want to work on saying, hey, here's the personal goal that I want to make for 2018, and have it something that, again, is a little bit more aligned with something that we can objectively say the goal was met or not met, or to what extent was it met.
Okay. So the next, we're ready to go to the next item. So the next item on the agenda under new business is consideration of Veterans Day as a holiday replacing the floating holiday. The city has always had a list of holidays, and then there was a floating holiday on which all the employees and department managers voted, and it was determined that way. However, we've kind of discovered that due to scheduling related to individual departments and whatnot, some of those options for floating holidays just don't make practical good sense. And I'll give you an example of that is that, you know, the rec center does the Easter egg hunt on the Saturday before Easter. So that kind of means that we don't want Good Friday to be a city holiday, because that means that all the rec center employees will be getting holiday pay because they're all going to have to work on Good Friday. So really the only day that works is Veterans Day. And what we're recommending is that we just eliminate the floating holiday altogether and make Veterans Day as a regular city holiday. So we've got the same number of holidays. We're not asking for any more. We're just saying, let's stop doing the floating holiday. We'll take that out of our personnel policies and procedures and make Veterans Day the holiday. And that way, it takes out this exercise, and we know from year to year what the holidays are. Yes?
So how do most employees feel about this? Because I think sometimes people like the option of picking a floating holiday.
So we've had that Veterans Day has been the winner for, you know, the last several years.
Right.
So I just don't know that they would care.
Okay. And it's a Monday, usually?
Veterans Day is November 11th.
Yeah.
November 11th.
So it falls on the day. It's not one of those that has always
so
made
it's like Halloween.
Monday. So it's a
holiday.
Okay.
it's like Armistice Day. That's what it is. It's the end of World War I.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So that could be.
It could be Monday, or it could be any day.
Right. So. And the city will close on that day? So even if it's like a Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah. And it's a federal holiday too, so fall in line with, you know, Charleston County and a lot of the federal holidays too.
I mean, sometimes that just isn't very beneficial to employees if they want a long weekend or, you know. Because you can take your floating holiday, it doesn't actually have to be a holiday, right?
So floating holiday is not an individual selection by individual employees. We've not ever done that.
Okay.
So in other words, it's not like Linda gets to pick one day, Marie gets to pick another day, Ray gets to pick another day. It is something that is voted on. Floating means the consensus of the group. So,
every year, all employees vote.
In January,
Go
ahead, Marie.
I'd like to interject two points. Citizens assume that if Charleston County's closed, the city's closed.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as garbage collections or whatever, they assume that they don't have to put it out or they don't have to
fall
because county's closed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a holiday the county does observe.
Okay.
Secondly, for the bulk of our employees, and by that I'm talking about the fire department and the police department,
right,
they have a regular schedule. the floating holiday doesn't affect them.
Right, at all.
They don't, you know, everybody doesn't get the day off.
Right.
It's got to be a staff working. Uh-huh. So those people typically don't even vote.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So
yeah, I was confused. That's part of the logic behind it.
Okay.
No.
I'm
surprised.
Well, it's come up many times.
Yeah. It has.
It's been around several years.
I know.
Now.
I just know
also,
maybe
the personnel committee votes the employees vote on it, and that's why you've heard it before.
Yeah, because the personnel committee makes a recommendation to city council.
So at the end of the day, every year, y'all have to approve that.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we support Veterans Day as the floating holiday.
And we'll eliminate floating holiday.
And we'll eliminate floating holiday.
But it wasn't, I thought it was the same as you. Where it was like, because that's what we do in my company, and I love it, because I'm like, when do I want my long weekend?
Right.
But yeah,
we've got a second to discuss. Right.
And I think Marie makes really great points. If the counties, we should follow, I think, the county.
Yeah.
So if the 11th November is on a Saturday, would it be Monday?
Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. So Sunday would be Monday.
Correct. That's
that's in the
pretty much the way the Fed observes holidays.
Yeah. But it's in our handbook also.
It's in the handbook also.
How many holidays do we have now?
This 11.
11, yeah. I think county has 13.
Yeah, okay. They do, because they take
what do they have?
Good Friday, and they give 3 days at Christmas.
Yeah, they have
Christmas Eve and the day after.
God.
So this change would be no new expense to the city. If we increase holidays, then it is an additional expense.
Can we get a second on that motion? We have to all round it.
Second.
Okay.
Sorry, Marie.
No.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. The only miscellaneous business we have is to set the next meeting.
Okay. And
I have a feeling you might be here for a public works meeting, are you?
Yes.
Okay, so it's gotten moved. I'm sorry. I think it was changed on the website, wasn't it?
I had a bunch of people call and ask me. I should have called you, Jim.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 11. I'm sorry.
Has it been changed? I thought it was canceled. It's been changed.
It was canceled, but it got rescheduled.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was canceled.
It was rescheduled for today here.
No.
Tomorrow.
It's the 11th at 11. I'm sorry. There was some confusion. The agenda said Wednesday, and we had to change that because that was a mistake. It's tomorrow at 11.
Can you come back to see us tomorrow?
Do I have a choice?
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
You're welcome to stay.
No, I've had enough. I'd like to get out of these committees and get a ditch covered.
I understand. We're working on it.
And, well, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
So, is there any appetite for moving this meeting later in the day?
Oh, I'll do that.
You know, I'd do it.
I mean, I like 4 o'clock. And if we run it sufficiently, as Linda's run this meeting, we'll be out by 4:45 if it was at 4.
4 o'clock's fine with me.
Public safety went 2 hours yesterday. Good.
Was that real property?
Public safety.
Oh. The 7th, is that what we're looking at?
The 7th is the MASC thing.
Okay.
Week's tough because y'all are out of here for 2 or 3 days.
So I don't know that there's any reason why we couldn't do Thursday the 1st with this committee.
Okay. So aren't we waiting till after the election?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But we can't for February.
Oh, right.
Which I've told everybody, because the election is not to the 13th. The results will not be certified till the 15th.
Right.
And Ways and Means is on the 20th.
Okay.
So you've got another. So let's do the 1st at 4.
I'm on a flight until coming in at 1 a.m. on Thursday. So I'm
So that doesn't work for you.
Where are you going?
Salt Lake City.
How about the 12th at 4?
I'm not having fun skiing.
The 12th?
The 12th, Monday the 12th at 4.
So 6, 7, 8 is out?
6 is MASC, 7 is MASC.
And the 5th we already have.
The 5th we already have a 4 p.m. meeting, and the 8th we already have a 4 p.m. meeting.
Okay, so the 12th.
At 4.
At 4.
That'd be my last meeting. So don't bring me any presents or anything. I really didn't do anything.
I'll bring you a t-shirt.
Come on, just kidding.
I'll bring you a t-shirt.
You do want a gift then?
Huh?
You do want a gift? You're kidding, so you do want a gift?
No, I don't want a gift.
February 12th.
I'm just standing in.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate your historical knowledge.
Yes.
Okay.
So 4 o'clock.
So is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Meeting completed. 45 minutes.